show. Podcast Radio, she's a nerd, he's a nerd, talking about what we know. New Podcast Radio, we're all nerds, buckle up, cause here we go. New Podcast Radio, welcome everybody to the Nerd Podcast Radio. Welcome everybody to the Nerd Podcast Radio.
Nerd Podcast Radio, your nerd home away from home.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Podcast Radio. I'm your host today, David Theobald III, filling in for Super Vegan Brian, who's sitting next to me, introducing my guest tonight, Super Vegan Brian. How you doing?
That was great. That was great.
Just mixing things up, you know, wanting a break, changing things around, you know, keeping it real.
I didn't want to host.
Yeah, it happens. No big deal.
You must have been really happy to find out that it was just you and me today, though, because it's easier to host with just two people.
Agreed.
Because you're not really hosting, you're just keeping track of time and segments and stuff. Yeah,
for the most part, yes. I am a little sad that my my comrade in arms Stolas isn't going to be joining us, because I wanted to talk about a certain activity we've been doing lately, but it's not the end of the world. There's always next time. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but first,
I was going to say Stolas couldn't be here today because he is wrangling a goblin.
Yeah, that's one way to put it, I guess. Sure.
Yeah. Struggling with a newly formed parasite.
There we go. Close enough.
I'll let everyone else interpret what that means.
Yeah. But first, Brian.
But first, we're going to play everybody's favorite game, What's Nerdy With You, where the two of us share the nerdiest things we've done in the last few weeks. Normally, we vote using Mike Mallory's widget system, but when it's only two of us, we just share nerdy things back and forth for a while until we burn out on doing that, and there's no competition.
You didn't follow the script, though, so Erica's going to yell at you.
I followed the script for two people.
Oh, that's funny. Well, you went first last week, so I guess I'll go first this week.
I'm the guest.
Right. Oh, well, then go first then. That's right.
I got a comic book. I have, and it's a Marvel comic book. It's my first time in a very long time.
Nice.
I got Weapon X-Men number one. I'm stopping at the comic book store on the way home to get a pull list for it because I liked it. The premise is that the Phoenix Force from an alternate universe needs to recruit an army to take down a threat that's a threat to the entire multiverse. So she puts together a team of people who are the best at what they do. It is an army of Wolverines.
That's amazing.
It is Jane Hallett, the female Wolverine from the 19th century. It is Logan from some universe. He's basically Fat Wolverine. I don't know what his deal is. They're going to delve more into him. I think he might be invented for this story, but they're going to delve more into him in future issues. But I guess that his healing factor started working strangely.
You're saying it mutated?
Yeah.
Ha ha.
And he has a dumb hairstyle, but I don't know if that has anything to do with the whole Fat Wolverine thing. I think he's supposed to be like the loser Wolverine, but he fights pretty well. Old Man Logan.
Nice.
There's more. Why am I cannot think? Oh, the zombie Wolverine from the Marvel Zombies.
Nice. Okay, cool.
And, my favorite one, the Wolverine from, the Age of Apocalypse, the one with one arm and, like, that exact Wolverine from the Age of Apocalypse.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's cool and spoiler light, but it brings back a really giant big villain from, like, late 90s, early 2000s X-Men that they haven't used in a very long time. That was a nice, cute little thing to make the big bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot of, like, Jean Grey Phoenix stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can't do the job herself because the threat could steal the Phoenix power, and that would be bad.
That would be bad.
But it's a follow-up to the original X-Men number one, where Jean, that same Phoenix, goes back in time and recruits the young X-Men to help with this same threat, but they're not good enough to complete the mission so she gets the army of Wolverines, which is just great. I hope there's more Wolverines in the story, because when they said an army of Wolverines after the first issue, I was expecting a whole lot more than like seven. But Weapon X-Men is kind of a neat thing, so I'm glad they're doing it. I'm sure it has something to do with Deadpool 3. Not
I'm
like
sure.
these characters are in Deadpool 3, but variant Wolverines, and there are going to be variant Wolverines in Deadpool 3.
Yep.
It doesn't surprise me that they're doing a lot of X-Men stuff right
I
now.
do love that they finally got Wolverine to show up in a Deadpool movie.
And yeah, I mean, especially since Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds are such good friends, and
Yeah.
I love how they like portray themselves as bitter rivals in public, like in ads and stuff.
Yeah, I know. The frenemies thing is great.
So yeah, that was one thing. What about you? What's nerdy with you?
Well, lately I have decided to heed the call and help defend Liberty for Super Earth and join the ranks of the Helldivers. And I've recruited several of my friends, Stolas among them, to join the ranks and help manage democracy.
Is this a Steam game?
Yes.
Nah, I probably won't play it. It's
It's also
like,
on PS5.
is it a shooter?
Yes.
Yeah, I probably won't play it. But that
Third
doesn't
person
mean
shooter.
I maybe I'll watch some footage, because are you
Just
guys
watch
gonna
the opening cinematic. It's great. And I have streamed before. It's fun.
you stream anything on our Discord?
Yeah, I'm not recently, but I have. I've done it
Okay.
in the past. I
Okay,
can.
I'll try to keep an eye out for it, and so I
Yeah.
can check it out.
Stolas uses the in-game audio, but when I play with my WoW Guildie friends, we use our Discord audio, so we don't use the in-game, so I can stream there. So I can do the same thing. We just have to use Discord to do it, which no big deal. It can be done. But it's so much fun. And it's so immersive, and just the music is so good.
This is something I've been talking about wanting to do, is do some of my gaming on the Discord. I just,
Yeah.
our normal gaming setup is we play with laptops on the couch next to each other, so while watching something. So it's
Yeah.
like, if I'm gonna stream, I have to grab my laptop and go in another room.
You don't have to, but you can.
Well, yeah, I just, I want to be able to talk and stuff.
All
And
right, I was saying, but when you stream on Discord, there's no camera showing you. It's just the video, whatever you're watching, and then they can hear you like normal
well, yeah,
in
but they'll
voice.
also hear the TV,
So,
and I if I talk, it'll disturb Heather, who's watching the show, and yeah,
fair
that's a whole
enough.
thing.
Fair enough.
But there's I have an office. I can come in here with my laptop and play and stream.
Yeah.
My other thing, and I shared this on Discord already, is I've been
Mm-hmm.
watching Delicious in Dungeon, which is just so much fun. I love D&D animes. The creator of this anime played Pathfinder, so it's kind of neat that they really have a lot of D&D knowledge. And
That's awesome. And
apparently, the creator of the anime was like a big DeviantArt artist for a real long time. So,
makes sense.
and the manga's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Reviews have been talking about it as it doesn't have same face syndrome. They do a
That's
really
good.
good job of making every character unique, including the side ones.
Although same face syndrome is fun. You draw them the exact same way, even though it's another character because the first one died, comes
Yeah.
back, same guy, different job.
Yeah. But the premise of the show is that it's a bunch of adventurers going through a dungeon like D&D style, and they were fighting a red dragon in the low levels of the dungeon. And they were doing badly because they were hungry, because they ran out of food. And
Okay.
the primary character's sister, the healer, was eaten by the dragon, and she kind of sacrificed herself to teleport everybody away.
Okay.
But they now need to get back to the dragon to defeat it and dig her body out of it so they can resurrect her. And they're broke and don't have any way to get food. So they decide, well, the main character comes up with this idea that they're going to eat monsters.
Okay.
And it's a food anime with like recipes and pictures of the food, and they talk about health and nutrition and educational stuff, and
Nice.
it's really fun when they're taught. Like, they meet this like ranger guy who's been living in the dungeon for a while, who talks about like, we've been getting plenty of food, but we're all not feeling great because we haven't been getting enough fat in our diet, so we need to get some eggs.
Nice,
So
nice.
they like figure out ways to capture cockatrices so they can get the eggs from them. And I mean, there's all sorts of cool stuff. And the
Gotcha.
character development is cool. And I understand from the manga that people have talked about how this story takes some good twists and gets real dark. Yeah, really dark. What about you? Anything else?
Let's see. I picked up a couple more Clancy novels from the used bookstore that I've been stopping by frequently. What else am I doing,
You're
nerdy? Oh,
reading Clear and Present Danger now,
I
right?
am currently reading A Clear and Present Danger.
Do Jack Ryan books hit differently, like, after years of having Harrison Ford movies and stuff?
Oh, I actually read my first Jack Ryan book back in high school before I had ever seen the Harrison Ford version. So,
Is your mental picture of the character different?
very, very much so. My mental picture of the character was definitely not Harrison Ford, but
Is it closer to John Krasinski?
oh yeah, quite a bit actually.
Yeah.
And just like my Clark was not William Dafoe, and my John Clark is not William Dafoe. Ding Chavez was not, I forget the actor. Was that I don't remember who they got him to play the movie, but it was really good. But yeah.
Here's a pop quiz for you. Can you name as many people as you can who played Jack Ryan?
Shit. Krasinski is one of the obviously Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the Baldwins.
Alec.
Yes, thank you. Hunt for October. Alec is one of the bald ones. I can't think of any. I don't know. I don't know names. I can't think of the
Chris
other ones.
Pine.
Really?
Yeah.
What movie
And
was?
I'm trying to find it.
Interesting.
The article just lists who has. It doesn't say the name of the movie.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I
Let's
just.
see. Now I have no problem with Googling during the podcast. Chris Pine, Jack Ryan. I was listening to a podcast the other day where they were talking about how they don't look up stuff because it breaks the flow and they don't want to be unprofessional. Well, we're not that high minded.
Who said we were professionals?
Shadow Recruit, 2014.
Oh, it was a recent one. Okay. I haven't
I
seen that one.
didn't even know that was a
Yeah.
Jack Ryan movie.
I didn't either. I haven't seen that one. Interesting. Okay. I'll have to check
And
that
I'm
out.
sure a lot of people didn't know that the Ben Affleck, the was it Clear and Present Danger? Was it that one?
No, the Clear and Present Danger was Harrison Ford one.
No, it was a Collateral Report.
Minority Report?
No,
No.
that's a Tom Cruise sci-fi movie.
You're right. Sorry.
Ben Affleck,
Oh, shit. What was the. God damn it.
Jack Ryan movie.
I'm going to kick myself when you say it. I don't remember.
I'm not finding it. Ben Affleck, Jack Ryan movie.
The Sum of All Fears.
The Sum of All Fears. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one about the dirty bomb.
Yeah. And what's it? Morgan Freeman's in that.
Yes, he is. To be fair, though, Morgan Freeman was in a lot of things in the early 2000s, the late 90s and the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of my favorite movies he was in that is a very bad movie in all regards was Chain Reaction, Keanu.
You know what's funny is I remembered him from The Electric Company. Because I
Nice.
watched it when I was little. I
Yeah.
don't know if that dates me. I think
It
it's
does. You're
more
older than
just
me.
like New York broadcasting schedules.
That too, but you're older than me, and that was on TV when you were a kid, and it was my TV was Sesame Street and
You
Nickelodeon
know,
morning shows.
The Electric Company was actually responsible for a lot of people in my generation becoming huge fans of Spider-Man because Spidey was a character on The Electric Company that would show up. They somehow got the rights. They weren't allowed to say Spider-Man.
So they called him Spidey. I love it. Yeah, I grew up with Picture Pages and Sesame Street and
Eureka's Castle?
yeah, Eureka's Castle, which was
Yeah.
written by R.L. Stine,
I
was involved
watched
in
it, but
Eureka's
I was a
Castle.
little older when it came out.
Yeah, no, I was the target age.
I watched this show called Pinwheel, which was the first children's show on Nickelodeon. And a lot of people don't know that Nickelodeon was actually called Pinwheel before it was called Nickelodeon.
I believe it.
Pinwheel was, I don't remember much about the show. It was, standard kind of Sesame Street clone kind of thing, but it didn't have puppets. But I learned a trick for finding something you lost in a room easily. You throw a deck of cards up into the air, and then you collect all 52 cards and you'll find the thing you're looking for while you're looking for the cards. And I wonder how many kids pissed off their parents by doing
A
that.
lot, I'm sure. I don't know. I found the easiest way to find something is buy a replacement for it.
Yeah, and then you
As
find
soon
the
as you buy
thing.
another one, you instantly find the one you were looking for.
You know what I find is we've found the thing years after replacing it. It usually happens is
For me, it's more of a, I order it on Amazon, I then find it, I then cancel my order on Amazon.
as far as more nerdy stuff, I think I'm pretty much done. I told you, actually, I told you before, so I wasn't thinking of it. I got the new Monster Core for Pathfinder 2nd Edition, and our Pathfinder game fought the purple worm from the new Monster Core, which is cool because in addition to swallowing enemies, it can spit them back out at you, which is just fun. We cleared up that purple worm pretty fast. The GM was a little disappointed. I think a purple worm is one of those things that someone has to get swallowed and someone has to get poisoned for it to be really hard.
Generally.
Yeah. And if they make their poison saves, it's usually not that bad.
I mean, as a
But
GM, if you're ever running a poison, a purple worm, you really, all you really want to do is swallow somebody just because it's
I
fun.
tend to be the meaner GM where I wouldn't have just swallowed them and spit them back. I would have swallowed them and then left. And then showed up and spit them back because then you have that fear that, oh my God, that character's dead for a whole round.
I think, oh God, no.
Yeah. And if your party's smart, they do prep during that time. I like to take monsters out of the fight. It's one of my favorite tactics is, like if you're fighting a ghost, it passes through a wall, does its scary, horrible attack, and then it passes through another wall and leaves, and you don't know when it's coming back, so there's tension. I like that kind of tactic in a game.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I love purple worms. I want to run a game. I already told our GM that when he's done, I kind of want to run the next one.
Nice. Any idea what you're gonna run?
I was thinking old school Hexpiration.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I like old school Hexpiration quite a bit, and I was thinking about setting it up so it's in a region of Galarian, the campaign for Pathfinder, for those who don't know, that has a lot of old dungeons
Quadira or
the where Sandpoint is. I can't think of it. It's not coming to my brain. I can't.
Sandpoint?
Yeah, the where the continent where the Runelord stuff happens, where Thassilon used to be.
Oh, man, I know what you're talking about. I can't think
You
of the
know,
name either.
the people, there's a whole people that have this lineage based on the name of the place.
I can't think of it.
Oh, my brain's not working. Oh, well, if you play Pathfinder and you're listening to this, let us know. God, it'll pop into my head. There's a whole language. And I've played tons of character. I ran a campaign in that area. Oh,
Kadira?
that's going to drive me crazy. No, not Kadira. It's
Thassalon?
the country where Thassilon used to be. The frontier area, the nomadic people based on the Romani are named after the continent.
Not Ustalev.
No, well they also live there.
Yeah, I don't have my Galarian map.
Google time.
There it is, Galarian.
I found the big giant world map that shows the names of the continents.
Nice. All right, there's Absalom.
Verisia.
Verisia. Okay. Yeah,
Oh,
Verisian.
that was going to drive me crazy.
It kind of did.
Oh, that was going to drive me crazy. So yeah, that was what was nerdy with me. Anything else with you or?
I am prepping and getting ready and setting up backstage area and doing stuff for the Southern California Renaissance Pleasure Fair,
Oh
which
yeah.
starts in 2 weeks. So next weekend is final dress rehearsal, and then the weekend of the 6th and 7th, it's go time, baby.
Oh yeah. And then we have no David for a little while, our normal annual routine.
Correct. I will be
I need to
gone
hit up
for a
our
bit.
mods. I need to hit up our mods and see if anybody can come just in case,
Luckily,
because
because we changed our recording schedule, I think I only end up missing 2 episodes, but
yeah, that's what it's been in the past couple of years since we do the Friday Sunday thing.
So
Yeah, if you don't know about our schedule, we record every other week, and we alternate between Friday evenings and Sunday mornings.
we're
And you can
trying to
actually see notifications about that on our Discord if you're a patron, and you could become a patron at patreon.com/nerdpodcastradio, where you can also get the ability to watch our videos of our episodes.
Yep.
And I have news for everyone, not just patrons. If you go to youtube.com/@nerdpodcastradio, you can listen to the podcast on YouTube now, because we're all published on there.
Yay, that's awesome.
Because YouTube has a new feature for putting an RSS feed from a podcast, and it automatically downloads it. And I'm so happy they did that, because
sweet.
The only thing stopping us from putting our video, our audio on YouTube, was the individual upload nonsense.
Right. That's really cool. Hopefully it works. It doesn't screw us.
It's cool.
I could just tell people, it's like, yeah, we're on YouTube. Just, you know, look us up.
And you know what's funny is, most people, Spotify is the better recommendation.
Yeah, except for a lot of the people I've told to always look at me like, oh, what? Well, yeah, we're on Spotify. Oh, I don't use it. They're lying to me, or they're...
My favorite is actually Google Podcasts.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all.
Nice. What?
You're hosting.
Oh, right. Fuck. He's sitting back in his chair looking at me like, do something. What am I supposed to do? But, oh, right. Yeah. Topic thing. So we were going to talk about something we haven't talked about too much lately. What was it? Hobbies we were going to discuss? Or were we
hobbies.
Going,
yeah, hobbies.
Yay. Something we haven't done for a while. Woo.
And I have to, like, you ask me the first question because I'm the guest.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Brian, what would you say your oldest hobby is?
Magic tricks and juggling.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of, anything kind of like sleight of hand type stuff. The magic stuff, I know, I used to be obsessed with it, used to know hundreds of tricks, and it's narrowed down to about two really good ones that I remember.
Mm.
And I can still do some of the card flourishes because muscle memory doesn't go away.
Got your nose doesn't count.
Well, then one trick. No. My two tricks are, one is a sleight of hand trick and one is a gimmick. The gimmick is called Scotch and Soda. It is, you put two coins in a Rube's hand, and then you tell them that one of the coins has disappeared, and they can feel both coins in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
You give them a half dollar and a Mexican centavo, and you tell them to squeeze their hand really tight and put their hand behind their back, and then mm-hmm. you basically say, like, I bet you $20 that the centavo's gone. But they can feel the two coins. So they'll be like, yeah, sure. And when they bring their hand back up, it's a half dollar and a quarter.
Nice.
That's a gimmick. That actually has a trick coin.
Mm.
And then the other trick is it's a perfect card trick. It's a card trick where you say, pick your card, put it on top of the deck, I'll shuffle it in. And then you show them the card on the bottom of the deck and you say, is this your card? And they say, no. And then you put the card on the table and then you look through the deck trying to find it. And you say, I can't find it. Can you find it? And you give them the deck and they look through it and their card's missing. And then when you flip the card back up on the table, it's their card.
Ah, nice. All yeah. Right. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And then juggling. Juggling, I still practice that. I got clubs for Christmas. I've been practicing.
I remember you mentioned the clubs.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of different weight juggling balls. I have chainmail juggling balls I bought at Ren Fair.
Wow.
I have stage balls, which are big and bright. That's funny. And
I wasn't gonna say it.
I got a bunch of bean bags. I have some Yahoo branded bean bags that I got from some tech show once.
That's funny.
And I have my first juggling balls that I got from the Klutz Book of Juggling.
Nice.
I got some hacky sacks. Like when I go like tourist stuff, I like look for hacky sacks that are nice and I have a couple juggling toys. Like I have some of those like ball and stick toys.
Mm.
What I don't have and I want to get is I want to get a set of devil sticks. But I don't want the devil sticks with the tassels. I want the ones with wiffle balls
I don't know
because
what the
that's
devil sticks are.
so devil sticks is a it's a wooden dowel that's been rubberized
Okay.
and it's got weights on the end. And most of the ones you get nowadays have tassels that are made out of leather on the end.
Okay.
And you take two sticks in your hands, you take the devil stick and you kind of counterweight it between the two sticks and you
Oh,
flip it
okay.
back and forth.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you've probably seen it before now
Yeah.
that you're thinking about it. And then the other thing I don't have is a Diablo, and that's just because they're expensive. A Diablo is like an ancestor of a yo-yo, and you take like you have a cord, and then you have this like
I've seen it.
yo-yo type thing, and
Yeah.
yeah, and you like throw it in the air and stuff.
Catch it on the cord, yeah.
I've done some fire stuff, but you know, just because it's not hard to do if you know how to juggle.
Yeah, I got you. Neat.
Yeah, but the other thing I haven't done that I'd like to do is check out the Portland Juggling Club because apparently we have a pretty good one here. I used to go to a juggling club in Venice Beach. That was
Nice.
pretty fun. They would just they'd every Saturday they would have a whole bunch of juggling gear out on one of the green hills and anybody could come up and play with it. Like they had hula hoops and all sorts
Nice.
of stuff. They had one of those giant hula hoops that's kind of weighted.
Nice. Those are fun.
Yeah, that you can put your
Yeah.
body in it and roll if you want to.
Yeah, one of the circus rings, yeah.
Yeah. What about
Neat.
you? What's your oldest hobby?
Playing with small army men. I was ever since I was a little tiny kid, I had green army men or G.I. Joes or stuff to play with. And I had a neighbor kid who shared the who we actually dug out the side yard with our hands and built this big elaborate fortified base and played army men in it. And it was I've always been playing with miniatures, which has then spurned my love into miniatures gaming.
Getting into
And
miniatures gaming because of that is really cool.
yeah.
And I bet you a lot of people have that story. Like
Oh,
I
I'm
did it too when I
sure.
was a kid, but I didn't continue it.
Oh yeah, I did. It is yeah, it's a fun hobby. And it's one of those things that I'd never really gone away. Like there was a time when I didn't have any of the stuff and couldn't play, but as soon as I found a way to get into it and I started going to strategic cons and realized that other people did it too. It was like, ooh.
You know what's funny is because you said that, I realized that juggling isn't my oldest hobby.
Oh, what is?
Woodworking.
Oh, there you go.
I don't do it often, but on occasion, I'll just go to the store and get a nice piece of wood and do something with it. Usually, what I'll do is if I go to like a vintage store and I find something made out of wood, I like to refinish it. That's probably my
Nice.
oldest hobby, just because when I was a kid, my dad would give me the army men and a bunch of scrap wood. And I would take the scrap wood and like cut it and nail it together and make like castle things and do.
That's awesome.
So I guess
Very
if I would
cool.
have continued the hobby the same way as you, I would be a terrain fabricator.
Yeah. Playing a 40K probably.
Yep.
Nice. Always fun. Yeah, that's my oldest hobby.
We used to play D&D. Like, I think the reason why D&D was such an easy match for me. Like role-playing games were such an easy match for me because when I was a kid, I was the kid that other kids came to saying, "What game are we going to play today?" And I would just invent games and be like, "Okay, you're aliens and we're space warriors and these are the rules," and I'd come up with rules.
No, the bush is safe. No, it's not. I called it time out.
We always had these games and we would come up with names for them. And by the end of the year, you'd have people, kids coming up that would be like, "I want to play this game that I heard of." And we would be like, "Oh, oh, what was the game? Oh, Man at Arms." We came up with Man at Arms. I was freaking in kindergarten when we came up with Man at Arms, and I'll never forget it.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so please elaborate.
Man at Arms was a bunch of kids were on the playground and a bunch of kids were on the ground, and you had to get on the playground without getting tagged. And if you got on the playground, you became a man at arm, and then you got to stay on the playground until the last person was on the ground and then they lost.
Okay.
We were in kindergarten. We called it Man at Arms. I don't remember why.
Okay,
I
I
was
get
probably
you.
named after the He-Man character.
It
Because
wouldn't
we were in
surprise me.
kindergarten and it was popular when I was five.
Makes sense.
I remember riding my bike like 4 or 5 miles just to see new Thundercat toys because there was a kid who used to get all the new Thundercat toys.
Nice. Did he have the big bass with the voice changer in it?
I don't remember that. I
Yeah,
remember
there was a
that
big
like
Thundercats playset thing that was Skeletor's castle, and it had a voice changer in it.
Excuse me, I gotta let the cat out. Be right back. It'll take me 2 seconds. Come on, go ahead.
I mean,
There.
the cat's out of the room now. I mean, God, you've spilled all the beans.
Momo has not showed up on a podcast episode for years.
No, Momo
She's
became.
still alive.
She became camera shy after a while.
No, it's just where the podcast is recorded.
That too.
My question for you
Okay.
is list some hobbies that you abandoned because I know we all have them.
Ooh, hobbies that I abandoned. Okay. Let's see. Rollerblading. I don't do that anymore. I was big into that when I was a little kid. Let's see. Hobbies I picked up that I then put down quickly.
Any that you did for quite a while and gave up on, or do you stick with the ones you stick with?
I kind of stick with them. I mean, it's my main hobby set would center around gaming of one sort or another, and I've been doing that for going on 25 years now. So, I played a little bit of bass guitar in like middle school, but that then stopped that pretty quick. I was never any good, so trying to think. I don't know if I'd consider it saying I left it behind, but my grandfather on my mom's side was a carpenter, and he taught myself and my cousin and my sister a lot about woodworking as when we were growing up as kids too. So
Yeah.
yeah, I know a lot about cabinet making, and I haven't done it in years, but I didn't know how. I the rest the most of the quote hobbies I use are all by like I know enough about engines to be an amateur mechanic and be able to diagnose and fix things with my car. I know enough about building computers, be able to put a computer together and be able to
I like
diagnose it when
that.
problems go wrong. I
Yeah, it's not like you abandon it. It's like you develop the skill and then it's like,
like, all right, well, I don't need that anymore right now. Let's move on to something else.
yeah.
Yeah, it's not something I don't usually pick things up and throw them away. I pick things up and continue with them until I get comfortable enough to where I don't have to worry about it. And if I need it again, it's in my closet to pull out and use when needed.
I gave
So,
up on collecting things.
yeah, I'm trying to do that. I've got so much shit in this house now, it's insane.
But that was more of a on purpose, like I need to stop buying things that are just
Yeah.
not, yeah. But I did similar to you. I played an instrument and I put it down. That's probably the only hobby that I really abandoned because I have talked about picking it up again, but it just hasn't happened. And I don't think it
What
will.
instrument?
I played the baritone horn or euphonium, as some people would call it.
Okay.
Well, actually, the euphonium is a specific kind of baritone horn, but it's the one I own. I was super honors band all the way through high school, and my mom was really pushing me to go to college on a music scholarship, and I did not have a good experience in high school band, and because I came into high school a month late, and our
That'll happen.
music instructor had already picked his favorites and decided I wasn't worth any attention at all,
I'm sorry,
which
that
really
sucks.
sucked because I was always like the prize student before then. And as soon as I got to high school, he couldn't give a shit about me at all.
That's what you get for starting school late, man.
Yeah. Well, it was because we moved and our town was really strict about school districts. I lived a block away from my high school and I wasn't allowed to go because I lived on the wrong side of the street.
Oof, that's terrible.
I had to go like 4 miles to school because I was just within the district and they wouldn't let me switch.
Oh, that sucks.
And then
Sorry to
we
hear that.
moved a block away and I was allowed to go to that high school. So we started the school year as we were moving. And once we were there, with our address was set and stuff, they let me switch, but they wouldn't even let me switch before the school year started. We had to have the address. We had to have the house closed. Even though we were getting the house, they made
Right.
us do that. It sucked.
Oh, that's terrible.
But you know, like my big regretful like dropped hobby is I'm not taking pictures. And we're going on a road trip in May, and part of that is going to be me picking up my camera again.
Good. I know you
And
really liked photography for a while,
I'm
so.
re it it's like a big part of my identity, and I don't plan on abandoning it. I just haven't been, you know, like every time I take my camera to somewhere, something happens that makes it not happen. The last time I took pictures, I took pictures at a wedding, and I enjoy getting that ready, but it's a little soul-sucking. I could never be a wedding photographer.
Fair enough.
I enjoy doing that, but it's still not a thing. I like taking nature photos and art stuff, and but other than that, like I really collect hobbies. I've done all sorts of hobbies, but I think that's just one of those ADHD things. Like ADHD people just hyperfixate on things one at a time. But most people I know say that I collect the skill and then move on, kind of like you said.
Yeah,
But I still pick things up. Like I have my drawing pad right here that's like right next to me with all my like charcoals and stuff. And I
nice.
try to do that once a month and just sit down and do a little bit of sketching.
Very cool.
What is my last sketch? I'm holding it in front of the camera.
Very nice.
It's really bad, but
If you would like to see Brian's sketch, you can go to patreon.com/nerdpodcastradio.
we're not going to tell you what it is. We're
Nope.
j I'm holding it up, and it. I'll tell you, it's a
No,
horse.
don't. Oh, damn it.
We're not paywalling all the content, just the visual content. I literally was like, I need to sit down and draw. I need to keep this hobby alive. What am I going to draw? And I drew the horse. Like, I think it's on the ground here. I'm like knocking stuff over to find it. Oh, I drew the picture of the horse that's on the manual for the drawing set.
Oh, nice. Always fun.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and then there's the things we don't consider hobbies, like what, video games and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, some people don't consider them hobbies. I do and I don't. It just depends.
It's like watching TV. Is that a hobby?
To some people, yes, it is. To other people, it's not. That's the thing, is calling something a hobby is subjective, because one person's hobby is another person's way they make a living. I mean, it's.
Is the word hobby bad? Is it like very reductive?
I don't think it's reductive. Like I said, I think it's just very su subjective. I mean,
Because, you know, it's like I imagine that the word hobby is used derisively quite a bit. Like when someone is doing like YouTube content creation, their family member will be like, that's not a job, that's a hobby.
yeah.
And then they make 100 grand.
I don't know. Like I said, it's hard to say whether it is. It's hard to come up with things that aren't just, general geekdom things. And a lot of people lump stuff together, and it's everybody, like I said, everybody is different in their own opinions on things. So.
What's your hobby that has been the most consistent for you?
Most consistent for me. I guess I would have to say consistent as far as that would be probably my video. The main thing I play online would be World of Warcraft, and that's
Yeah.
a hobby to some, and that would definitely be the most consistent. Like, I've only taken a break, if it was only for a couple of months, a long time ago, back when I was poor and couldn't afford to play. But other than that, it's been fairly constant for 14 years or so I've been playing.
We're talking on my most consistent hobby right now.
Fair.
What
Yeah, that's the other thing. See, that neither one of us mentioned this podcast as a hobby.
would you know how rarely this podcast comes up in What's Nerdy with You?
I know.
And it's generally me.
Yeah, because you're the one that does everything. So.
Like, I didn't even do all that. I didn't even include all that freaking troubleshooting for that episode that almost got lost as my nerdy thing.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
I think it was because that was the most fun episode we had in a long time that I was like, we are not losing this episode. There's no freaking way.
Yeah, it was good though. Hee. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Good question.
Yeah, you do have to come up with one, don't you?
I yeah. It's not. This is not as easy as it looks, people. Some people have to just be brimming with random questions to ask people all the time, and
I have
others have to
four in the
actually think of it.
chamber.
Go for it.
What is a hobby that of someone you know that you've always kind of admired, but you wouldn't get into it? Like, you're like, wow, that's cool that you do that. Not for me, but it's cool that you do that. And I think it's really a neat thing. And, you know, I can imagine myself doing it, but I don't want to.
A friend of mine got really into archery, like bought their own bow,
I
joined a
had that
team.
same experience. I had a friend who got really into
And
archery and
I
was
had
very
fun.
disappointed that I didn't really get into
Yeah. Like,
archery.
I was fun and I enjoyed going and doing stuff, but I wasn't about to spend money on my own equipment and everything. It's like, look, I'm gonna buy this. I'm never gonna use it again. What the f no.
I had a friend that it really hurt our friendship that when he really got into guns, I didn't really get into guns. And I told him, I was like, I went shooting with you guys and had fun, but you
Yeah.
didn't like it. Well, I did. Yeah, but how come you didn't buy a whole bunch of guns and come out with us? Because I'm not that into it and it's
Yeah.
fun. And then that turned into, well, you're anti-gun and pro-gun control, aren't you? And I'm like, okay, this is going into the insane territory from the I'm just not into your hobby.
That's going into the us versus see the fact that they immediately went to the us versus them throws up lots of red flags for other reasons.
Yeah, but no, I have to say, going shooting was fun, but I remembered having in the idea in my head, this will probably be the last time I do this. Not because I don't want to, because it's not fun. It's just I can't imagine myself getting motivated to put an afternoon aside to go when it's just kind of neat.
Yeah, I understand that. That's definitely a hobby that I picked up for a minute and then put
I
down
think
again.
it's one of those hobbies that if people invite me, I'm like, yeah, let's go do it. Come on, yeah, that's a blast. I want to hear everyone make ding ding sounds when they point their gun at things, and then when I point the gun at things, there'll be no ding ding sounds. I think it might be better now that I have glasses because
I'm sure it will be.
well, we did experiments where I was pointing that freaking 22 at things that were 3 feet away and missing.
Wow.
And it was like, how is this possible?
Wow. Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, and I think it may be because I don't have depth perception without my glasses.
I got to be a pretty good shot with my 9mm back when I had it.
But yeah, that's a hobby that it's like people have been into. I think the big hobby right now that someone I know is really into is my wife is into fish keeping. I think it's really cool. I even thought about getting into it, but I was like, no, this is her thing. I don't really want to.
I've got another one actually. My friend Gil is a blacksmith, and it looks like a lot of fun. And I would love to get to do something like that, but it's not really something I want to even dip my toe into because God
We
knows.
have so much in common because I actually looked into getting a small crucible and
Right?
yeah, you know, Special Mikey does that.
Yeah, I don't think he's done it anytime
I don't think
recently,
he
but
hasn't done it in a while, but I mean he
yeah,
has a small forge.
very cool. But yeah, no,
You
my friend,
don't
my.
have to have big ass equipment to do cool stuff with
No, you
blacksmithing.
don't.
You can make some stuff and it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but my friend Gil's cool. He's like proper blacksmith. He's got a shop in Santa Ana, and he actually is going to be working Red Fair as one of the blacksmiths in the in one of the St. Ives areas.
A really good example of that was all of my SCA friends. Listeners, if you don't know what that is, it's a Society of Creative Anachronism where it's basically like Ren Faire mixed with football.
Kind of, yeah.
They go out and they wear homemade armor. It's not historically accurate, and they do battles, except for the group of SCA people who do historically accurate stuff. But there's the people who do it. It's more like a sport than
Yeah.
a reenactment thing.
It's an excuse to wear armor and whack each other with swords.
Yeah. That was a big hobby. I think the reason why I didn't get into it is because of how much the armor looked like football armor. And they,
So it's what football armor was based off of.
yeah,
So
I love how we call it football armor.
it's effectively what it is, padding, you know, shoulder pads and all that.
And they say the countries that play contact sports without all that equipment have less injuries.
Because they don't go as hard because
Yep.
they get hurt a lot easier, so they don't
Yeah.
they're not as hardcore about things.
I bet you that there are more like there's more instant deaths or something like that because I imagine, but I've also heard people who live in like England being like, how do you why do they have to wear all that?
Yeah.
People have been playing rugby for years and they don't wear all that. And sure, they might get hurt, but it's not that serious.
Yeah. Oh, rugby's crazy. The only sport I've ever seen a man punch another man in the face and not get called a penalty for.
I can tell you a hobby that I really tried hard to get into, and if I ever had the opportunity to really get into it, I would.
MMA fighting?
No, watching Australian football.
Well, yeah, that'll do.
I have a friend who was willing to do some Discord streams, and we couldn't put a schedule together because of the time zone thing. But watching Australian football in America, you're pretty much stuck just watching clips on YouTube because to be able to watch the games costs a crazy amount of money. It's like $200 a month
Why?
because they can charge that much because Australian expats and immigrants want to watch the games and will pay that much because it's a big deal. So it's sort of
Okay.
like if you're there, you could just watch it on broadcast TV. But if you leave the country, you have to go through one of those services. I
Interesting.
haven't tried VPN tricks, which might make it easier to do, but
Probably would.
I don't know if it'd be classified as hobbies I've abandoned, but I bet there's lots of technical stuff I've gotten into in IT that I've dropped because of complication. Like I stopped trying to set up a VPN on our whole network, and we just do it on devices.
Wow, all right. Whole network VPN, geez.
If you do it on the whole network, you can use the VPN on your TV to watch things regional. That's why I was going to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I wanted to watch Canadian. We wanted to watch Canadian Netflix on the TV so we could watch Heartland as it came out rather than waiting for it to come to American
I
Netflix.
see. Okay.
Oh man, we are 1 hour and 15 minutes in, and I am running out of questions. I thought I had more in the chamber, but they pretty much went quick.
We're actually closer to only an hour in because we started late, but
We
yeah.
always start 1 hour late, and I always maintain this. We always start 15 minutes late, and we always run the same schedule. It's the same.
Right, but it's
So
only 12:15, so we've only been going for an hour.
I know, but we start at 11, and the schedule is based on that, even though we always start 15 minutes late. You didn't know that?
You so much right now, Brian.
No, that's always been the case. I've always based the time on
All right, all
11
right.
to.
What would you say is your cheapest hobby?
It's a good question. God, juggling is free, basically. I mean,
Well, you
no,
have
the
to buy the
clubs are expensive.
equipment.
Yeah, but I mean,
Unless you're like walking around picking apples off a tree and juggling them. I mean, yeah, in theory it's cheap, but
you know, the
when it
best
comes to
juggling balls
buying
are
actual
lacrosse
like
balls.
when it comes to buying like actual, professional equipment when you're,
Yeah.
trying
It's a
to
pretty cheap hobby, though. I mean, it
Yeah.
hasn't been because the clubs were expensive and we've looked at getting other expensive things. But, like, just as a base hobby, podcasting wasn't that bad. You know what? I will say it this way. Most of these hobbies are cheap at an entry level. Like, when we
Yeah.
originally started the podcast, we all had $20 headsets. We were using Skype. We didn't have the Zoom account yet.
No.
But since then, people have gotten equipment and we've bought stuff with Patreon money.
Yeah. That's the thing is none of your hobbies like, oh, I collect Ferraris. And it's most of our hobbies was geeks how were low income, low starting cost, what's the word I'm looking, low threshold.
One
Low
of the
threshold
things,
hobbies,
I
because
think it's like any hobby is most hobbies are cheap at the entry level, unless you're collecting cars.
yeah.
Most hobbies are cheap at the entry level, but there's a way to make any hobby cheap at the entry level. Like car collection could be starting at pick a part, getting the parts one at a time, and building a car, which you know there are people that do that.
Oh yeah.
I've known people who've done that. And then there's the people who freaking order, spend a whole bunch of money on Cobra kits and build a Cobra in their garage. You know what's funny is drawing isn't even my cheapest hobby because I don't like drawing with pencil. So I have to buy vine charcoal because I like drawing with vine charcoal.
Yeah.
God, my cheapest hobby. Iaido. I've spent money on some stuff for Iaido that was like collectible stuff, but the actual hobby, my wooden swords were $5 each. And I mean, I have one that was like $400, but that was optional. And it's more fancy than it is functional. And then my real swords, my first one was $25. It's a decorative sword, but I was able to use it for practice. I wasn't using it for combat.
Yeah.
And then my full contact one, somebody got that for me as a present. Well, actually, three friends chipped in to get it, but it was still not an expensive one. It was like $150. You can tell by the corrosion. Eidos was really cheap. I mean, because most of my early money was just spent on books, and the class I found wasn't bad. But I mean, that was more of a luck thing because it's hard to find a cheap class, and that class was pretty low cost. And then when I was in Texas, I stumbled upon that class that let me train for 2 months with pay what you want,
Yeah.
which is not common. Oh God, cheap hobbies. I think
Right.
they're all I you know what I can answer better is what's my most expensive hobby?
Okay.
Pathfinder.
Agreed. I think I spent more money on Pathfinder than just about, oh, I don't know. 40K is kind of rough on that,
And listeners, we know Pathfinder is a role-playing game that you don't have to spend money to play.
You don't, but the when you do, it helps.
Well, I mean, remember like when we're doing convention stuff, there were young people who'd never bought books because they didn't have that
Yeah.
resistance to reading electronic content. And then it's like people in our generation is like, I have to be able to hold a book in my hands and be able to study on the toilet. And the kids are like, I can do that on my phone. But no, yeah, that because those books are like $60 each now. And I like
Yeah.
having a physical one.
I do too, but yeah, it's at a certain point you start getting priced out of things as far as entry level goes, and especially with our role playing games. Like the initial cost, yeah, if you buy all you need is the core rule book and you can play the game, but
Magic the Gathering is a big example of a hobby I abandoned because I realized it wasn't sustainable. I was spending all my money on it.
drugs are cheaper. There's a shirt that says Magic, drugs would be cheaper, and it's absolutely right. Drugs would be cheaper. Let's see,
Dylan, what is your cheapest and most expensive?
my cheapest is I mean, in a way it's Pathfinder, but in another way it's not, because again, yeah, I've spent a lot of money on books and everything, but Pathfinder itself is a great relatively low cost hobby to get into if you're not interested in having physical books. And
What about miniatures?
miniatures are definitely among the more expensive. I mean, there really aren't. That's the problem with that is once you start getting into miniatures, you start running into all the biggest problem of it is just the financial cost of it. Warhammer 40K, Games Workshop in general, the company that owns them, is notorious for just how expensive their models are. And the fact that you don't get a lot of bang for your buck as far as model, you'll spend $50 or $60 on 4 or 5 figures.
And you've played a lot of other games that are a lot cheaper too.
I've played games that are really cheap. I've played games that you can play with index cards and Sharpies. I mean,
But Warhammer kind of builds the pricing into their rules. Like, if you spend more money, you're going to be better at the game.
yes, to an extent, yes. The Warhammer also expects the fact that everyone that plays it is rolling around cashing, burning $100 bills at random, and re-releases their rule set every couple of years, so you have to buy all new rule sets and all new codices and
Aren't there like whole like communities devoted to playing Warhammer without spending a whole lot of money?
yes,
Like there's
it's actually considered a mark of pride now for among some of the players of
the
how
cheapest
little
army you
you're
can that still wins games.
exactly. Yeah, because it's obscene. Like some of the more powerful units and stuff, like some of even I play Space Marines, and some of the bigger tanks and some of the bigger units are $70, $80 for one. And if you're fielding an army of so many points, you usually are going to have three or four of something. So a $60 model I need four of, I now am having to pay $240 to field these troops. And that's just for the models, not to mention the time spent putting them together and painting them, which is another can of worms, is the paint. Paint is a model paint for miniatures is obscenely expensive for what you get. And yeah, it's $5 or $6 for a pot, but you're getting a half ounce of paint, which can last you for a while, but if you're painting a lot, you go through it real quick.
I thought of an answer to another question
Okay, well, I haven't given
that
my
I.
other one. My most
Oh,
expensive
you're most
hobby.
expensive. Yeah.
My most expensive hobby would be PC building, because that is not a cheap hobby. That's a hobby that costs me $3,000 or $4,000 every time I do it. So
Have you shared your cheapest?
I think my actual cheapest hobby that I still play would have to be recurrently Magic the Gathering, because I play online and don't
And
actually
I,
have to
oh,
buy cards,
okay.
so
Okay.
I don't have to buy actual cards anymore. You can earn stuff for free in the online game. So yeah, that's what I do.
I'm surprised that, okay, so this leads, is it my turn to ask a question?
Yeah,
Because
go
I think I
ahead.
have a good one.
Go ahead.
What are some things you do that other people would consider a hobby that you don't?
Oh man. Well, I mean, for me, like doing my stuff at Ren Faire is, some people consider it a hobby. I just consider it fun, but I get paid to be there. So yeah, that's one thing.
I think that's the first time you've ever mentioned that to me. I didn't know
What?
that you get paid to be there.
Oh yeah. I actually work there. This is my the third season now that I've been an actual employee of the fair. Before
Neat.
that, I was just a volunteer.
Neat. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, well, the group I used to volunteer through unfortunately went the way of the dodo and isn't part of Fair anymore.
Oh.
So it was, well, if I want to continue to work here, I guess I might as well apply and get in. The guy I was doing my volunteer work for was like, "Oh yeah, I'll hire you onto the crew." I was like, "All right, sweet." So yeah,
I bet
that
you
was
that's
fun.
pretty common because there's a lot of orienting stuff that they don't have to do when someone's been doing it for a long time as
Oh
a
yeah,
volunteer.
we did our orientation meeting yesterday for the whole crew, the first time we'd been together since last fair. There's 22 of us, and we got one new guy. Everyone else has been there at least 3 years.
Do you do the meetings in character?
No, not generally.
I was
As guest
curious.
services at the frigate, we don't really do character all that much. We're more about, guest getting people in the door and taking tickets, and we're more crowd control than anything. So we don't do a lot of character work.
You still stay period, though.
Yes, we still stay period, but we're all in costume. We're all, we all talk with the Queen's English, but the whole character thing is not as we're it's not as required for us as it is for other people.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense that that job is paid because of how important it is.
Oh yeah, we are the keepers of the gate. If there's problems, we're the ones that we're the line of defense. So
Do you carry a pike or something?
no, I don't. I've got my mug. I've got a couple of small blades used for cutting ties and things, but otherwise, no, we are unarmed.
Neat.
Yeah, if
I love
we.
it when we talk about your fair experience because and I guess you may have described it as a hobby years ago, and now it's evolved way past
Oh
that.
yeah, no, and it's no longer a hobby. I mean, yes, I still have a lot of fun with it, but I don't consider it a hobby anymore.
I have to remind myself that the podcast is a hobby to
Yeah.
continue to have fun doing it. Because there are times that the fact that we've been doing it for almost 10 years kicks in, and I need to make it new. I need to do something different. This is supposed to be fun.
I mean, I have fun every time. Part of the reason I keep coming back. I'm a big proponent of, if it's not fun, don't do it. So, if just from experience alone, if I don't enjoy something, I'm probably not going to do it again.
The fact that you and Erica and Stolas are able to come back and still enjoy doing it, nobody feels like it's a drudge at all. That makes me motivated to continue.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the stuff with me is, the administration and the marketing and stuff like that. That can
Yeah.
get a little,
Also, your abject professionalism and perfectionism.
But you know what I do to remind myself that that stuff is fun too?
What?
The community. The fact that if I'm having trouble with like marketing or whatever, I can put a post on Discord and then all of a sudden one of our crazy mods will do something.
We have an awesome community. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Or some listener will just out of the blue start doing something, which I just think is cool.
Always good stuff. Always good stuff. And yeah, this is one of my favorite hobbies too, but I don't know. I don't really consider it. I guess it is technically a hobby, but I don't know. It's
It's
not something I've considered a
interesting.
hobby for a while.
I'm not so one of our new patrons, Paulbo, was posting about doing some development in Unity and was posting about developing a game, and all of us were like, we don't know how to do it. And then I noticed the post 2 days later because I'm bad at checking Discord, and I was like, here's a bunch of resources. And immediately I thought in my head, if I know that, how come I haven't tried to develop a game? And right. I went, you know, I might do something because, you know, we talk about like hobbies that are like someone else does it and you're kind of like inspired. I might pick up Unity just to try something else out. And only because it's fun and it also kind of ties into my job. I can learn a little bit about Unity and then do a little presentation for the tech teacher and be like, hey, you can tell kids how to do this and they can do a game.
But yeah, I've just never been any good at programming, so it's not something I've ever.
So, Paulbo, I know you didn't expect me to shout you out, but you've inspired me. I might dig into those tutorials I sent you, but it was just Brian lucked into it because I happened to have some Unity stuff pop up on my YouTube, and I remembered, and you asked about game design, and I know you can get away with Unity without knowing a lot of coding, and then you can learn coding as you go.
Fair enough.
And it's the game engine that most indie games use.
That makes sense.
Apparently, I watched this one guy. I wish I could remember the video, but he was doing designing a game with four different engines and comparing all the engines to each other.
Interesting.
And the one he coded in Python, I think, but he was able to do Unreal Engine and actually come up with a pretty decent like platformer game without any experience with the coding language they use.
Nice. Okay. Interesting.
I wish I could remember that. I'll have to look that up and see if I can put that on the Discord, if I can find it. If I don't, I couldn't find it, but
fair enough. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. After learning a bit of C++, I was like, yeah, this really isn't for me. So I kind of stopped caring about
programming. I don't have a coder brain, but yeah, now that coding has changed so much and is more of a WYSIWYG, maybe I can take another crack at it. I have to do some script stuff at work sometimes now.
My spelling is so bad, I'm terrified of screwing up a line and then never being able to find it. So
I'm anal about that stuff. But I do rely heavily on spell check, and I use a lot of like fancy text editors that have spell check in them.
Okay.
And they have in-context spell check that they can check the spelling of your code.
Gotcha. Okay. That's not terrible.
I was going to tell you, there's a hobby that I picked back up recently. I started jogging again. I'm doing a 5K in April.
Oh, nice. Jogging. Okay, fun. I mean, it's basically where you just like run, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm doing it with a dog, and we're doing a 5K next year that the dog has to be trained to lead you. So I'm working on that right now. She just heals and I'm just getting her used to the jogging, which is very embarrassing because I'll be running as fast as I can and she'll be walking next to me. She's part Airedale, part Border Collie. So going at my speed is no effort.
That's funny. Sorry, that's funny.
I need to run with the little dog to make myself feel better, because if I jog, he's sprinting. I used to run with him, and now I'm running with her, and I'm like, and she's like,
oh, that's funny.
I've been doing, the last time I picked up jogging, I had to stop for a really long time because I hurt my ankle.
Yeah.
So I read some advice, and I have been jogging on off-road trails with hiking running shoes.
Give you a little ankle support?
Yeah, but it is like running with ankle weights on, and I can't run at the speed I'm used to when I jog. So
you will. You'll get there. You just got to keep at it.
It will, but I got to do a little bit of cross-training with actual running shoes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do like a half a mile in the running shoes and then go back to the clog hoppers, because I can't risk hurting my ankle, but at the same time I can't make myself slow, and you have to be able to do intervals to build your speed, and it's hard to do intervals with those ankle weights.
Fair enough.
I'm also doing some elliptical stuff, but that you can tell that it's a hobby. It's not just trying to get back in shape. Like, I really like running. I really like body mechanics and fitness. I've read tons of stuff about it, and it's just one of those things. And at the same time, it was a hobby that was driven by someone else who was like, I want to get back in shape and I would like to do a 5K. Does anyone else want to? And I've been wanting to for a really long time. I
See,
was actually signed up to do a 5K in 2020 to get back into it, and then the pandemic happened.
I follow the John Pinnett logic of you getting back in shape. No, I never was in shape. So
I don't, I mean, people who've been watching, people could probably watch the video and it would be like me going from a little overweight to being like ridiculously thin to being like a little overweight to being like ridiculously thin to being a little chubby to like ridiculously thin. But I don't know if we've been doing video long enough, but I think you probably could see the yo-yo.
Probably. Meanwhile, the only thing that changes about me is my hair length. Long, 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 short.
I
Long,
do
long,
have
long,
to
long, long,
say, for the
short.
past like year, I have felt very good about this,
Hmm.
which is new for me because it. So, like, if I lose a little weight from the running, it's not the goal. But because
I
I'm
love
not, I don't feel like I'm overweight right now, even
the.
though by BMI, I'm probably morbidly obese.
Welcome to the club. One thing I find funny about us, at least the two of us in general, most people grew beards during the pandemic. We ended up with mustaches.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
I have the alopecia reason.
I know. Mine's just it's the only thing that'll grow. I haven't shaved in 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah. If you'd like to see what I'm talking about, that's patreon.com/nerdpodcastradio.
Where you can watch the video of our episodes as a $5 a month patron. But you know, we also have other tiers that if you want to support us or if you just want to let people know about the podcast, that's also a great way to support us as well.
Or you can join and then go on Discord and tell us how much we suck. I mean, it's up to you guys.
And we will take that feedback and use it to make the podcast exactly the same. We'll probably curse more.
Probably. But on that note, we're getting close to time, so
Yeah, look at that.
that might be a pretty good note to end it on. Today we talked loosely about hobbies. Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I have to do my promo because I was the guest
That's
today.
right. You're our guest. Do you have anything you want to promote?
Well, I have this podcast called Nerd Podcast Radio. You can find us on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/nerdpodcastradio or on other podcasting platforms, including Spotify and now YouTube. We also have Patreon at
Yeah,
patreon.com/nerdpodcastradio.
that's right. We're on
We're on
YouTube now. Woo!
Twitter at Nerdcast Radio, but Twitter, we have not been operating on it since X because I can't log in. I think we got banned. I don't know why. I need to talk
Man,
to
what did you
Stolas because
do?
Stolas was the holder of the login information. And
Oh, okay. Things make a lot more sense now.
I need to have some more promotional channels because right now it's just Facebook, which nobody's on anymore.
Not really. It's definitely the dying of
I think we've gotten most of our new listeners from Discord communities that we're all parts of.
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's me.
Yay, all right. Well, we talked about hobbies and certain aspects about them, and it was a pretty fun episode. I don't host very often, if you can't tell, so
You did fine.
this has been Nerd Podcast Radio. Stay nerdy, stay informed, and stay awesome, everyone.
Say goodbye, David. Brian, cut him off.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our new show. Podcast.